gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe for you.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I think I'm on day 6 of no sleep at all.
Are we going through this again?
Yes, the insomnia is back. Uh-huh. I'm not that most people will tell the difference if I talk gibberish the whole morning, but I'm just saying my brain feels like a pile of mush. 6 minutes after the hour.
Old porridge.
I am, like Madonna, I am too old for the road. I am officially too old for this.
Oh, I found out why she looked a little tottery. Tottery.
She's over 50.
She pulled a hamstring earlier in the day. So
because she's over 50.
Well, and she didn't stretch.
She probably did that picking up a pin like I do sometimes.
So that's why she looked a little tottery.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
That's the excuse I'm going with.
Yeah, you pulled a hamstring. That's why you're tired.
Exactly. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, by the way, yes, see, that's the thing. Is you can go to radio school, you can study for years, and none of us will ever be Art in Chicago. Who is just a natural.
Yeah.
Hey, Cracky. Who called in again?
Gotcha.
And that's why he has his own jingle.
Who's the caller? Who's on line three? Why in Chicago it's Art by Cracky. And with Steph, he does not agree. But we all think he is the bee's knees. Yes, we love him to stay and hear what he will say. In Chicago it's Art by Cracky.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Was that on Wax Cylinder?
That was on Wax Cylinder.
That's old-timey radio,
yes.
Jim.
Got that directly from Edison himself.
Now a man who is both newfangled and knows how to do old-timey radio.
What is early?
The only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
What?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Can you not hear me? I can hear him. It's like talking to Art in Chicago. Hello, Charlie Pierce.
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, boy.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
He can't hear me.
Hello, Rangoon.
Hello. Charlie, can you hear me?
Uh-oh. I certainly can.
Now you can.
That's weird.
That was weird.
I don't think I'm used to this time of day.
I know. Thanks. We have Judy Tenuta live in studio today and yada yada. So thank you so much for doing for us.
Not a problem. I was listening to what was going on before. Now, did Chris say Madonna was tottery or tawdry?
A little of both.
Yeah, by the way, you didn't get the complete story. She did pull a hamstring, but luckily it wasn't one of her own.
Madonna's a slut joke. All right, now, Charlie.
No, it was not.
Yes, it most certainly was.
It was not. I don't have to take this from some sleepless woman.
That's what we were saying. Like, I'm watching and going, oh, is that part of the choreography? That's what I do at Sexy Liberal when I trip over a speaker. I meant to do that. It's part of the choreography.
I thought it was what happened during the tour when you, like, fell in Hal Sparks' face.
Yes, that was, I know I meant to do that.
Versa.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, that was planned. You wrote, in fact, I love what you wrote about the, you forced yourself to write about Willard because you said it's a damn sight better than opening the week by discussing the state of play regarding a certain professional American football team of my casual acquaintance, the owner of which invited Rush Limbaugh to sit in his owner's box in yesterday's America. Yeah, fest in Indianapolis, and reap the righteous whirlwind as a result. That's right. That's why they lost, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he had Rush Limbaugh and Steven Tyler in the owner's box, and why he wanted to surround himself with aging drug addicts is beyond me.
Right. So where do you fall on the whole Gisele Bündchen controversy?
I get a little bit tired in my other life of sports fans, and I don't understand why sports fans have determined that everything in their life is their favorite talk show, and they can pretty much leave her alone when she's leaving the stadium.
Oh, I know. Well, that's what I mean. She was getting heckled.
Why be a drunken idiot? Your team just won.
And I only watch football once a year.
That having been said, she didn't do hubby any favors.
No, she did not.
But all I'm saying is she was right. They dropped a couple of important passes.
And having said that, who wouldn't want to fall on Gisele?
He didn't have the best game he ever had. But the whole point is, don't do that to your husband's coworkers.
Right.
Yeah, don't throw them. That's going to be an awkward team meeting.
Tell that bitch. I'm not talking to you.
Your wife is hot, but tell her to shut her pie hole. Yeah, she threw the whole Patriots under the bus, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, including like you know good old souls like Wes Welker and stuff. So it's not gonna be like I said, like somebody says it's not gonna be a happy team meeting.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But like you say, why heckle someone's wife? You know, especially when you won, for God's sake.
I get tired of fans. I also get tired of political followers. I've decided anybody who isn't a direct participant isn't worth my time.
Yes, it's. I love your piece. What Romney's selling on the road ahead. Unquestionably, Willard had a good weekend. He got himself a thumping win in Nevada, which seems to be further deflating the dirigible that is the Gingrich campaign. And also driving Gingrich around the bend. I love, you were talking about his press conference Saturday night, looked like the hostage tape.
Yeah.
Gingrich, he looked a little dispirited, didn't he?
That was odd. I mean, to have like a press conference at 11:30 at night, first of all, it guarantees you a grumpy press corps.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because at that point, they've all been running around Vegas for 4 days. All they want to do is listen to some banal, you know, we're going to move on speech and go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, you know, only you can sort of put your finger on the vast sort of disinterest that is people's reaction to Romney. There was some indication the Bible banging set in the Republican electorate might slowly but surely be acclimating itself to voting for the leader of an unchristian cult. Which, just that in itself is amazing, right?
We've got another poll. Now, we had one of these polls in 2008, too. We've got an ABC poll that says the more people see him, the less they like him.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a political consultant, but I don't know how you overcome that.
Exactly.
You can't be seen less. I mean, you can't run for president and be seen less.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're saying. I was reading one article, Charlie. They're saying that's the strategy now is just don't, like, he hasn't answered a question from a voter in 3 weeks. Like, yeah. God forbid there's a faux pas. It's just show up, look presidential. There's Secret Service guys now.
Yeah,
it's just
march
to inevitability.
Sure. But apparently just showing up is enough.
Right. Right.
To start cueing the, you know, the oh, God, not this guy again, jeez.
I love you, right? Nevertheless, as the pall of Romney's inevitability begins to descend like a great cloud of methane upon the nation, things are also looking a bit hinky. First, there was the matter of canning Brett O'Donnell, apparently for the crime of being credited with turning around Willard's debate performance. I mean, yeah, this is amazing,
that
right?
That was a very strange story, and it got a little bit overlooked in the rush to report the results from Nevada. I mean, this guy got fired because he was too good at his job, as I could tell, and got credit for it.
Right.
Which
yeah.
I think is the real sin.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, it's Michelle Bachmann's, which,
right.
as you say, managed to make her look sane.
This is the guy that managed to prop her up.
Think about that.
I mean, this guy is the Houdini of debate coaches.
Yeah. So you write, sooner or later, every salesman comes to believe his own bull. Arthur Miller got famous by illustrating this very point. It appears that Willard has been trafficking Neanderthal for so long, his brow is lowering by the hour, and the other members of the tribe are picking up on this and banging their sticks on the rocks in celebration. And you say it perfectly. It is possible there's been a more shameless panderer in the history of American politics than this guy, but it's hard to think of one offhand.
No, he's actually gone full wingnut, and I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's going to be able to walk it back. He's taken too many positions that are outside anything he ever thought of taking when he was running for Senate up here or governor of Massachusetts. And I don't know that he's not gone too far that he has to, you know, that he has to commit to it as his political persona.
You know,
as a candidate and a potential president.
Well, you know, it reminds you of, like, any relationship that doesn't work when someone's, like, desperately trying to be someone they're not to please you. It never works anyway. It's like, just be yourself, for God's sakes, right?
Which one?
He literally will be anything.
Is this a point of experience, by the way?
No, I'm not sorry. Did that sound too close to home? No, but I mean, it really just...
Stop taking your biography out for a walk.
It really is an exercise in how much money you can spend, right, to make it, I think Rude Pundit said this, a thoroughly unlikable person, the nominee, right?
Yeah, I mean, the nominee, not to make him likable, by the way, but to make him the nominee.
Yeah, yeah, well...
Because
so,
now it looks like the carpet bombing of Rick Santorum is going to begin over the next couple of days.
That's what I've heard, so what's that all about?
Well, it looks like he might be able to win this useless thing in Missouri today, and he might actually make some noise in Minnesota. So it's time for the eye of Sauron to, you know, turn in his direction.
Wow. What? So, I mean, because obviously there's talk about that, you know, Newt's strategy is that, you know, when he gets back to Hootin' Cracker Land, he'll be able to win some of those states on Super Tuesday.
Yeah, because down there he wins Alabama and Mississippi and maybe Georgia. What? I mean, okay, but where do we go from there?
Right.
I mean, he's proven he can win in the former Confederate belt.
But this is just a grudge match at this point, isn't it? I mean,
I think so. I think it's complete. I mean, you know, this time it's personal. I think this time it's personal. Because it just doesn't make any sense any other way. He doesn't, you know, Gingrich doesn't have the wherewithal to go forward. His campaign isn't even organized. He isn't even trying to sue his way onto the ballot in Virginia now. So, I mean, that's his home state at this point. What's he really up to?
Yeah.
Are we back to, like, you know, an infomercial for Newt Gingrich LLC? I think so.
Yeah. My favorite headline yesterday, you know, for us happy clappy liberals that have been saying this for a while, Obama no longer doomed, according to fresh poll.
Yeah.
You know, up till now we've been told he has already lost the election by a landslide,
yeah. He's gone out and made his case, but he's really sort of just standing out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what he needs, exactly what he needs to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he gives them a gentle elbow every now and then when he talks about, you know, some candidates say, but, you know, we know who he's talking about.
Well, and I don't, you know, want to get ahead. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but, you know, Charlie, you look at in a year of Occupy movements, of income inequality, the 99% movement, and, you know, literally as the president's, you know, in that pre-Super Bowl interview, I mean, it's hard to argue with those numbers. 750,000 jobs a month, we're seeing, we just added 200.
Shut up.
8.3 uh-huh. unemployment rate. And here is the face of income inequality, Mitt Romney, who last in the nation in job creation. There's another story out today that Bain took over American Airlines, and they're firing a whole bunch of people. I mean, how does he make that case in this year?
Well, he is the perfectly wrong candidate, of course, to make that case.
Right.
Which is why, you know, basically all you get from him is banality about America the Beautiful. You don't get any the substance. You know, his 54-point economic plan, 52 of the points will make him richer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I mean, it's certainly a personal, you know, it's certainly, a, you know, a grow your personal wealth plan. Unfortunately, it's his personal wealth.
Yeah, exactly. And at least the Swiss bank accounts in the Cayman Islands, those that was helpful in making him seem more in touch with the regular folk.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he'll go, you know, he'll go on. You know, but somebody was saying last night, you know, I mean, it looks very good for the president now. But, you know, 8% unemployment is still awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better, but it's still awful. Now, it's odd because he can't run on Morning America because it hasn't been a big enough turnaround, and he looked foolish.
Right.
But he can sort of run on America is going in the right direction, which is, I think, a little bit tougher sell because all it takes is one blip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true.
America, less bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, but better than
the
Mitt Romney talk singing the America
under that guy. Over there.
Yeah, right. But less bad than Mitt Romney, you know, talk singing America the Beautiful again. Please, not one more time. Shouldn't that be
reminded me of that album that William Shatner did of Dylan songs.
Oh yeah.
I think we could get the remaining information. We could get the remaining information we need from prisoners at Gitmo if we just send Willard down there to talk sing America the Beautiful. Oh, God, make it stop. All right. Charlie Pierce, a delight as always, my friend. We'll talk
to you
next week.
Talk to you.
All right, there he goes. CharliePierceEsquire.com.
Hooray.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yep, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Did I mention we have a big show? We have a very big show. Representative Adam Smith on the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee coming up in just a few minutes. Lots of stuff going on, you know, in the
Syria,
world.
Syria, Afghanistan, Iran.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies joins us next hour live in studio to co-host Right Wing World. Yeah. And then Judy Tenuta, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio in hour number three. That was all the time I was stalling while Jim gets back in the studio. Hi, Jim. How are you? I was about to lead into the news story about Mitt Romney and him, his latest talk singing of America the Beautiful.
Another one?
Hmm. This is
he seems to do it all the time now.
Is he trying to be more irritating?
Yeah. He does it all the time now. They should just bring up Bill Murray to sing Star Wars, you know.
Yeah, that's a, yeah, yeah. We, you know what? We need to invite
and
him to open.
If there are wars.
that's what this is. Yeah, we were talking to Charlie Pierce about this. Out are the 55-minute town hall meetings. In are 15-minute stump speeches, buffed-up rallies, there are rope lines and hot lights, giant flags, Secret Service agents with wires in their ears. The objective, appear presidential, avoid gaffes, and convince Republicans they have no reasonable option left but to rally around Romney's candidate. Yeah, it's the momentum that we've
avoiding
so much about.
Gaffes may be a pretty tall hurdle.
Yes, since he seems to.
He's a human gaffe generator.
Yeah. At his campaign stops these days, Romney arrives in dramatic fashion. He emerges from a tunnel or steps off his logo emblazoned bust, on stage to loud rock music because he's so hip.
Yeah.
Looks out onto the cheering supporters behind him, at his sides and in front of him, and feigns shock at how many people have shown up. he gives me a headache in my eye.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just so
inauthentic.
Phony. Yes. In Colorado Springs on Saturday. Wow. In Reno last Thursday. What a welcome. What a Reno welcome.
Wow.
In the Villages, Florida last Monday. Thanks, you guys. Wow. Is that all he's allowed to say now?
I expected this.
Yeah.
Gee willikers.
Yeah. He doesn't have any advance people or anything. He had no idea there'd even be people assembled Jeepers. Here. Wow. Look at you.
But if you dare ask him a question about any of his policies.
Gotta go.
No. Uh-uh. He hasn't answered a question in 3 weeks.
Romney then powers through his stump speech. President Obama doesn't know how to lead. This election is about the soul of America. And then recite, or if so inclined, sing America the Beautiful.
From rocky coasts to golden shore.
Yeah, we are basically at Eagle Flies time four. You're right, it's turning into a bad Bill Murray Saturday Night Live.
Coast to Golden Shore.
Well, I don't think you could write a candidate this bad. This is, I'm reading verbatim from this story. Or is this Politico? Washington Post, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I love America's hymns, Romney said at the Colorado rally. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. When I was in Iowa, I said the amber waves of grain included corn, and I think that's why I lost by 25 votes. You do have spacious skies here. No amber waves of grain that I know of. Purple mountain majesty, oh, yes, you do have those. Really?
Yeah, in the eastern part of Colorado, they do grow grains. Yeah. So he was wrong.
Really? That's the best he's got?
What state am I in?
For Purple Mountain's majesty. Oh, yes, you have those. What is this? He just... That's how they try to keep him safe from gaffes. Just go places and point at things. Mountains. You have mountains. You have
not
corn.
Not like Utah.
Amber. You have... Okay.
A girl named Amber. I met her this morning. She gave me coffee, which I don't drink.
He just goes to every state and points out the thing that state is most known for. He goes to Arizona. You have cactus. You have the Maine. You have lobster.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
Whatever. And there's no indication as to how much he sang of that and how much he spoke. It's just irritating either way. It must be even more irritating in person.
And also, he doesn't have the greatest sense of pitch in the world.
No, not at all.
No, he's no Barack Obama.
You're beautiful for spacious skies.
Yeah, he sounds like one
it's
of those.
It's like he lost the spindle.
Yeah, right. In the middle of the 45, and it's just slightly off center.
Four amber waves of green.
Hey!
Someone get an auto tuner quick.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your body is a wonderland, by the way.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah. Adam West.
Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Wait, all we had from 1978.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chicago. Tickets to Sexy Liberal. Do it. As a Valentine's Day present for Super Saturday for the children. Do it. All right. We are nearing sellout already for March 3rd in Chicago, so I would go. I would get it. Oh, in fact, it's time to play Sexy Liberal Dating Game. Dave, I need a date for the Chicago show.
Oh?
Steph, I want an extra ticket for March 3rd, Sexy Liberal Comedy. Oh, that's a hot ticket. I appreciate an on-air shout-out to find a female companion. For more info, interested women can search for Sexy Liberal in the Strictly Platonic listings on Craigslist. Yeah, may not end that way. Come on, Dave, you stamp. People getting a lot of Sexy Liberal strange. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you better go quick because February 25th, Phoenix already sold out a long time ago. And by the way, July 28th, Jim just asked me for tickets yesterday. You better hurry on that, for God's sakes. At the Pantages, going fast. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook.
Yep.
Check it out. Oh, by the by, speaking of Arizona, who was the guy yesterday, Republican, that wants a holiday to honor white people?
Yeah, some.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yes, because somebody proposed a Latino, and so he was like, he was serious. He wants a holiday for
white people.
Yes.
Okay, Tuesday.
White people. There you go.
Done.
There you go.
Wednesday,
done.
Thursday, every day that ends in Y.
Hmm. Mike writes about that, about the white people holiday. I support this once we become a minority. That's what the lawmaker said.
Mm-hmm.
He said when we become a minority, white people, we want a holiday.
Yeah.
But there are prerequisites. First, we must pass a law making slavery of white people legal for 300 years. And, of course, this implies their property can be treated as such, traded, raped, lynched, etc. Then we overturn the law in theory, but not a whole lot changes de facto for about 100 years, except that we allow white people to work as janitors and migrant farm workers. Then we start a movement to let white kids feel they're as good as anyone else, notwithstanding their pigment deficiencies. We coin slogans like white is wonderful, Caucasian is cool, once you've had white. Then we get our holiday. Mike, a little bit of sly.
We'll just call it Mitt Romney Day.
Yeah, wake up, white people.
He's the whitest guy I know.
Oh.
Well,
he's got no soul.
He was born to
Johnny
a white,
Edgar Winter,
a white father and an even whiter mother.
I meant figuratively. I mean, he's, yes, he's the most square.
I'm the whitest
by
man
By the
ever.
Way, was that yet another gaffe? Like, I love immigrants. My father, he was, you know, did he say lived in Mexico?
Yeah.
Or my father was born in Mexico or whatever he said. You know, why? Because they wanted to be polygamous.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's why his and grandfather went to Mexico.
Yeah. And it was against the laws of the United States, so they went to Mexico.
So they went to Mexico.
That's my point.
Oops. Perhaps I shouldn't have brought that up.
Perhaps I spoke too soon.
Oh, dear.
Ay, caramba.
Adios mio. What have I done? Don't be a star, my advisors.
Estan.
Estan. Thank you. Mitt Romney yesterday.
This has been the most anti-jobs, anti-investment, anti-growth
really?
Administration I've seen since Jimmy Carter.
Really now? Well, I think you might be able to help that. Not only was he 47th in job creation, that's three from the bottom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. States when he was... Looky here, Romney's firm instructed American Airlines to sack 13,000 workers. Thank you, please,
right.
And thank you. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, February 1st, American Airlines announced that it will take the advice of Mitt Romney's firm, Bain Capital, and lay off 13,000 workers. Because that's what they do, baby. That's their bag. 15% of its workforce replacing their pension plans with 401ks and ending company-paid retiree health care.
Wow.
The layoff announcement came only 7 days after American Airlines hired Bain Capital to guide it through bankruptcy procedure for which the airline had filed last November. Mm-hmm. See, this is what they do. This is vulture capitalism. Mm-hmm. They come in with either sick or ailing companies. They make money for Bain.
Right, by firing
and
people.
Firing people,
yeah,
exactly.
Getting rid of their pensions and their health care.
Yeah, who's the other guy, Bain, that was quoted? Yeah, I didn't think of what we did as job creation. It was wealth creation
for Bain.
Yeah. Romney formally retired from Bain Capital in 1999, but still continues to receive a portion of Bain Capital profits that he squirrels away in various overseas accounts. Some of it. Romney's 2010 tax returns show a, quote, obligation to continue to provide services to Bain.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you said, hello, American Airlines. You know, I like to be able to fire people. Why don't you do that? How about 15% of your workforce? Good. Nicely done.
And that's the only way to fly.
Well played.
And then they complain about Obamacare.
You're going to make the skies less friendly. Seriously. You're entirely too friendly, your
fly
voice.
Fly the ugly, hateful skies.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go again with this creepy stuff. About
this election, however, is about more than just replacing President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the very soul of America.
Uh-oh. And you know what? We're going to save yours after you're dead, even if you like it or not.
We're going to baptize America's soul.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, didn't see that coming, did you?
Guess what? You're all Mormons now.
Look alive. Too late. Oh, well. Yeah, that is a little creepy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You'd never
know
religion, that before?
With a tradition of baptizing people after they're dead.
Yeah.
Into Mormonism. Yeah, posthumously. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. I know there was a big movement to get the Mormon Church to stop doing it to Holocaust people who died in the Holocaust.
Think?
Yeah.
Think they would object somehow?
Yeah. I guess they said they had stopped, but they really didn't.
No. Oh. Like.
Yeah. Like, just don't do it, please. Did you see Bill Maher unbaptized Mitt Romney's father-in-law?
I did not.
That, yes, this past Friday night.
Why?
It was very funny.
How outrageous.
Yes.
How politically incorrect. By the way, did you see the... Oh, God. Oh, dear. Dear carnival barkers with bad hair. Where does Tommy in Columbus find that many pictures of Donald Trump in the wind? I mean... Could his hair be more ridiculous? Appearing on Fox and Friends Monday, Donald Trump wasted no time in giving himself credit for Mitt Romney's victory in Nevada.
Huh?
Huge. Huge.
Landslide.
Huge. He said there was a lot riding on that particular race in Nevada. It was interesting because the numbers were much, much greater than you thought. No, they weren't. It was the lowest turnout ever.
They were huge. Huge numbers.
And a lot of people are giving me credit for that, and I will accept that credit. Oh, please.
Oh, my God.
No. Didn't the poll numbers, didn't his poll numbers go down?
Yes.
After
a majority of people say that had a negative effect.
Yes.
Donald, I mean, even Republicans were saying that's the, which is tough to say, was the biggest gaffe of the Romney campaign, accepting the Donald Trump, you know, acknowledge, or what do you give him, endorsement, whatever the hell it was, who cares? It was like 40 seconds long.
But what's he going to do? If he doesn't accept Donald Trump's nomination, Donald Trump is going to go on Fox and Friends, where he has a very friendly audience, and just trash Mitt Romney. So what is Romney going to do? You're trapped with Donald Trump.
What a bunch of dopes. Okay. Listen to Donald Trump. Who cares?
Is that Trump? I meant Gingrich. No, Santorum. No.
Yeah, he said something
Michelle
like that.
Bachman.
Well, people didn't know what I was going to do, and that's what made it very exciting. No,
no.
It wasn't. Nobody gives a... What? Oh, yes, I was on the edge of my seat. Who's he? Oh. Okay. Nudie.
He has gone negative, and it is working. And what I'm asserting to you is over time, I don't believe the American people will approve of a campaign which actually suppresses turnout. I think it's amazing. If you go look at Florida, every county I carried in Florida had an increased turnout. Every county Romney carried in Florida had a decreased turnout.
Hmm.
Is anyone fact-checking this stuff?
Boys, don't fight. You're both
horrible.
Awful candidates. Seriously. Worst ever. Okay.
I mean, it's like they're not even trying. It's like the Republican Party isn't even trying.
I know.
It's like they've given up already.
How, in the middle of an election, Bain Capital is destroying American
American company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he on the phone today? You shouldn't have done that, for Pete's sake. I'm running for president.
That takes chutzpah.
For Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have waited till the election?
They're destroying an iconic corporation right this very second.
Yeah, not so American
Pension?
Airlines.
Nah, you don't need that.
And meanwhile, why, looky here.
Overrated.
This might not play well. The Romney Kids $100 million trust fund. Huh. Mitt Romney's five sons. Matt, Tag.
Blurn.
You're it.
What? Gorp.
Couldn't he just for fun have named one of them You're It? Tag! You're It! That's just what I'm saying. Marco!
Polo! Rubio! Well, I don't.
Why not? Matt, Tag, Craig, Ben, and Josh.
Blurf, Plorg.
And Plurf and Larg.
And Schnurf and Howl.
And Flagarkin are sitting pretty with a trust fund worth $100 million. Yeah, you mentioned this before, Chris.
Yeah.
He's just...
That's not very much.
Such a big fat liar, seriously. Because, you know, I didn't inherit anything. I'm a self-made man. He inherited it and gave it right to his sons.
His sons.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have it.
And invested the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm up by the bootstraps kind of guy. I didn't inherit anything. I'm please.
Except my inability to tell the truth.
But you know what? He never had to worry where his next meal was coming from.
No. Romney and his wife Anna have been giving to the boys since 1995. According to a spokesperson from the Romney campaign, all of their contributions have been below gift tax contribution limits.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's so clever on taxes, isn't he? Add it all up, the Romneys could have gifted $1.3 million in 1995, a total of $10.6 million through 2011, all tax-free.
Yeah.
Huh, that doesn't seem available to the rest of us.
Hmm.
While many of the key details are missing because the family hasn't released gift tax returns or disclosed the contributions to the trust, there were likely a few other strategies at play. Tax experts say you've got people who are paid $1 million a year to work 3,000 hours just to figure out ways to transfer money from older generations to younger generations, and Romney has the money to hire the best of the best, just like everybody else.
I'm a job creator. Look at me.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we return with Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the great state of Washington, ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not sure. Let me try again.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A lot going on around the world, you know.
Yeah, there is.
And so we thought, hey, who do we know that's a ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee? Why? That Adam Smith, congressman of the great state of Washington, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be back on.
It's so nice to have you again. Well, where do we start here? So obviously the big news yesterday, the Obama administration pulling all of the American diplomats out of Syria. What is your take on all of that?
I mean, Syria is headed into a civil war, and, you know, it doesn't look like the international community is in a position to stop it. I think the big thing right now is to try to get Russia and China to stop supporting Assad. I mean, if we could pull more support out from under him, it's possible that the elites in Syria would conclude that this is going to conclude what they should conclude, which is obvious, which is Assad's not going to last, and the sooner they make a transition, the less bloody it can be. But right now, Assad is continuing to get support from Russia and China to block any meaningful efforts to really put greater pressure on him to change.
Well, I mean, as you know, as we've talked about many times, it doesn't matter what this president does or, you know, what string of foreign policy successes he's had. You know, he's doing it the wrong way for the right wing or, you know, because he obviously has said, you know, it's a case-by-case basis because people are already saying, well, why aren't we intervening, you know, militarily like we did in Libya? And, you know, I think the president has had, as he said when he campaigned, Congressman, a really smart, tough but smart foreign policy.
Yeah, pragmatic and intelligent is always a good way to go if you can make it work, and I think the president has done that. And, yeah, way back when Libya was going on, I think the president made the right call on Libya, and people are saying, well, if we're doing it here, how come I'm not doing it elsewhere? Well, the simple answer to that is because every situation is different, and if you're going to lead in a complex and difficult world, you better understand that, there is no military option in Syria. We don't have the Arab League calling for it. We don't have the entire world supporting it, and we don't have a clear military objective. In Libya, half the country was already controlled by the rebel forces. We could clearly protect them. You don't have that same situation in Syria. Now, I think the president has, you know, at every turn, made the right decisions in difficult circumstances, and I can honestly say I've never in history seen a president who has been more roundly criticized for making successful, correct decisions by the opposition.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, I guess, you know, whatever he's for, they have to be against, but, you know, you would hope that some coherent policy would guide that criticism,
right? But it
really doesn't.
But you're right. It would seem like foreign policy things like that, they always used to be exempt, Congressman, you know? Right. I mean, it literally, somehow, you know, killing bin Laden became a bad thing. I'm like,
Yeah, well, it's the classic thing. Well, we just didn't like the way he did it.
Yeah, right,
you know,
exactly.
Which is always the argument when you don't have anything. So I think the good news here is the president has laid out a clear foreign policy that seems to be working. And also, if you look at the polls, the public recognizes that.
Well, and I'm particularly enjoying listening to the people that got us into Iraq saying how we need to attack Iran immediately.
And I would say that's, you know, when you were kicking around, so everything's going on in the world, where should we start? Iran was where I, you know, would have wanted to start, because I am deeply concerned that, you know, this pressure to whatever Obama does is wrong, and sort of a tendency to sort of not really recognize the consequences of military action is going to push too many people to say, well, we ought to just bomb them. I am deeply concerned about the fact that, you know, a number of people in this country are pushing us towards a decision that doesn't have to be made.
Well, and the president, as you say, once again, in his calm, sort of reasoned way in this TV interview, I'm sure you saw, said he didn't believe Tehran had the intentions or capabilities to attack the U.S. He said any kind of additional military activity inside the Gulf is disruptive and has a big effect on us. It could have a big effect on oil prices. We've still got troops in Afghanistan, which borders Iran, and so our preferred solution here is diplomatic.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. And also, but the president is not just saying, well, we're going to talk nicely to them. He has put together a very aggressive set of economic sanctions to give them consequences for going down the nuclear path in a way that are starting to have an impact. And starting, I might also add, to get the type of broad international support that the Bush administration was never able to get because President Obama prioritized that support. And economic sanctions are far more effective when you have the European Union and Japan and South Korea and other countries supporting us in those economic sanctions. The pressure is very real on Iran right now to, you know, go in that different direction. I think the president, again, has led the world in the right policy.
Congressman, obviously what a lot of people are talking about are Leon Panetta's comments about the U.S. getting out of Afghanistan next year,
yeah.
Which, and now I know that some people are saying, you know, it caught people by surprise even in Congress, and maybe this is a trial balloon for a strategy shift. What was your take on all that?
It's bizarre to me that anyone could say this caught anyone by surprise. The president has said we're going to be out in 2014. We're on a ramp to reducing the size of our force there to getting to the point where we're going to be substantially, if not completely, gone in 2014. So there have to be steps along that way. And that's pretty much all Secretary Panetta laid out, is that we're going to continue, actually, to turn responsibility over to the Afghan security forces and the Afghan government. We've been doing this for a couple of years. Provinces, districts have been turned over to Afghan security forces and Afghan governance, and we're going to continue that process towards the goal of having us out. I mean, that's perfectly in keeping with the plan the president laid out.
I know, and I love how, you know, people say immediately, like, oh, this is all political for the president. But, you know, as you say, this is exactly what this is what he ran on. This is what he said he was going to do. The fact that huge majorities of the American people want us out of Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, I mean, obviously that's good politically. But, I mean, as you say, this is what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, and also, most importantly, it's the right policy. A permanent long-term U.S. military presence in Afghanistan is not in our best interests. So if it's not in our best interests to have a permanent long-term presence, you need to have a reasonable process for getting us out. And that's what the president has done. And look, I think on the right, and I've heard John McCain make the argument most passionately, there's this mistaken belief that a large U.S. military presence in a foreign country will somehow always be stabilizing. That's just not the case. I mean, our military is incredibly capable. They can certainly win battles. They can't make a country be stable. And their presence in some instances, and in Afghanistan is one of them, you know, they don't like to be occupied in Afghanistan. They don't like to have a foreign military presence there. If we don't have some plans to get out, that's going to undermine our ability to have any sort of stability in a very, very difficult part of the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Obviously, the other, you know, big news is the great jobs report and, you know, the economic. But, I mean, it really is. It's getting to be like a comedy routine that, you know, I believe on Fox News, the Chiron actually was the bad news about the jobs numbers. I mean, or there's these conspiracy theories that they're cooking the books, that they're not real.
My staff, I got the email, you know, when that stuff was announced, and I emailed back and said, that's great. You know, I can't wait to see how the Republicans spin this into the worst disaster ever.
Yeah.
And we got to keep, you know, perspective here. It is always true that there are different ways to look at unemployment numbers. I mean, that's when unemployment's 4%, you can say, yeah, but there's these people up here, and that is always true. That, you know, that you can't just look at one number. But no matter which number you look at, they're getting better.
My favorite
than they were before.
My favorite from the Department of Having a Great Big Set, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Did you see that? It's the Republican governors that are responsible, not the president.
Well, one of the things we got to really drive home, and this was lost in 2010, and I know a number of people tried to point it out, but where we were in January of 2009 should not be forgotten. We were losing 750,000 jobs a month. The economy was contracting at somewhere between 6 and 9% over the course of the previous 6 months, and the stock market was at 6,300. So, you know, we've made progress. It's been tough. We got a long way to go. There have been mistakes. I'm not even going to say that I don't agree with every economic decision the president made. But we're making progress and moving in a more positive direction.
Yep.
And, you know, we should at least acknowledge that.
Well, they do address that. They just don't ever mention George W. Bush.
Right, exactly. Right.
Representative.
Obama must have had the worst first day in office ever.
Representative.
Come in, turned on the lights, and destroyed everything.
There you go. Representative Adam Smith, thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right. Eric Burns next in Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, it's time to feel good. Hey, I'm right now. It's time to feel good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Now going on, what is it, Chris? 6 days of no sleep?
Yeah.
Enjoy the gibberish. Who are you? Are you always here? Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Speaking of which, Janine, Philly was fun. Staff, the show was terrific in Philly last Saturday. Thank you, Philly. We love you. John rocks those sexy pants, and Hal rocks those tight T-shirts. Yeah, it's all about, you know, parading that sweet meat around for Mama. You, of course, beautiful as ever. Aw. That's a lot. You know what? It's very, very low lighting. Steph, even the damn fire truck showed up Saturday night. Yeah, that's another right-wing conspiracy, Jim. We had to evacuate the theater because of smoke.
Interesting.
Wonder if that had anything to do with the Planned Parenthood donation we made. Interesting.
Mr. I think Brimstone?
I'm going to make that part of my skit, there. I think, and then I'm going to have hot firemen come and rescue me and bring me out on stage. Janine says, can't wait to see you in Boston. Janine, a Steph head, obviously.
Hot firemen?
Whatever. I've told you, firemen are the thing that transcend politics. They transcend sexuality. Firemen are hot, period.
Fire women.
Sure.
Okay.
Bring it on. Fire women, whatever. And Mike and Raleigh with a heads up. OMFG, here we go again. Police, a man accidentally shoots himself at a gun show. Authorities say a Georgia man recovering accidentally shooting himself in the leg at a Savannah gun show. He was leaving the gun show when he discharged a round into his leg while reloading his pistol. He bought the pistol at the gun show on Saturday and he returned to purchase another gun. Police say he was reloading the pistol in the parking lot because loaded guns aren't allowed inside the gun show.
Oh, son of a bitch!
I just need to get myself. There's our gun control ad for 2012.
Courtesy of Jacques Offenbach.
Exactly. All right, why? There's another handsome face that I'm magically sensing to my left. Why, look, it's Eric Burns, everybody!
Hey!
Originally founder of Media Matters, now of Bullfight Strategies.
Yes, indeed. And I did not shoot myself.
No.
This morning. I came close. But
good morning.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for being had. Carl Frisch, of course, your partner. We have all the time,
yes.
And we haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I know. I'm jealous. What's up with that?
I'm just trying to make you jealous, and it's worked. See,
it
here
has,
you
indeed.
Are.
Yes. All the way from
the
D.C.
The milkshake has brought the liberal boy to my yard, hasn't it?
Indeed, it has.
Now, here you are in person. Well, you know, I have to say, it's one of the most entertaining primary seasons we've ever had, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like a bad reality show. I wondered if, like, Casey Affleck was actually secretly directing it, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like they did with, what's his name?
Yeah, you really literally go, you just can't write this.
No, you can't. It's so zany, you know, and
yeah.
you kind of sleep to the debates, but then when they go a week without
yeah.
having them, you're kind of like, oh, I miss it. What's
something's
going on?
Missing in my life. What
yeah.
is it? Oh, I know. I mean, it's like I'm not even sure like which poll to look at. That just I love the. I was saying as a happy clappy liberal, I love this one. Obama no longer doomed, according to. Damn, that was our storyline. That Obama's
yeah.
been doomed forever. But this one from the Atlantic Wire. President Obama, the guy whose economic policies inspired the creation of the Tea Party, is the guy more Americans trust compared to Mitt Romney, at least, to handle tax policy. A new poll from ABC in the Washington Post finds he and then a he. 52% of Americans trust Obama on taxes compared to Romney's 42%. 66% of Americans don't think Romney paid enough in taxes. Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, he paid 13%?
14, yeah.
40-some-odd million dollars.
Oh, and don't you love, because you're used to the right wing, I got one of those aha emails the other day, like, John Kerry pays 14%, so, ha, there. I'm like,
they got
that's
you.
The point, is people like yeah. John Kerry and Mitt Romney should not
pay
be paying
more.
14%.
Yes.
But the difference is, John Kerry is someone... That would try to enact
yes,
right.
legislation whereby he would pay more.
You want to reply and be like, how much did you pay is the point.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is it's like, you know, nobody's saying that Romney did anything wrong. That's the whole point.
Right. Well, we're talking about higher math, so it's confusing to folks, I think, sometimes. I don't know.
Although it looks a little unseemly to invest your money overseas, not in America, but I'm just saying. That seems like a bit of a faux pas. The ABC Washington, ABC News Washington Post poll finds Obama's approval rating at 50%. Nate Silver, by the way, had imagined coming only if Obama found a cure for cancer. And he's not often wrong, but...
That's true.
Hmm.
He may be this
Monday, the poll finds people trust Obama to protect middle-class people by 55% to Romney's 37%. Oh, that's weird. He seems so in touch. Half of Americans now say Obama deserves re-election. That's the same thing George Bush faced in 2004, and better than what Bill Clinton faced right at this time in his re-election.
Well, look, Obama's likability numbers, which is always kind of in the crosstabs, are really really high, and that just shows, I think, that he's got a lot of room to go up as we go through the year. I felt that for a long time.
Many of those ex-flight attendants from American Airlines are going to be voting for Romney.
See, that's just that was an unfortunate timing. Yeah. They just hired Bain Capital and they just fired a whole bunch of people. Because Romney likes to fire people.
he does not like
firing people.
See, barely.
Who doesn't love to fire people? I think I fired your staff, Stephanie, when I was walking in.
Really?
Here. Yeah, I did. I think I may have told Rebecca a couple of them.
You're out of here. I fired Chris several times, but then I always come back crawling.
Because you're
begging.
A liberal.
Yeah. Well, and also no one else really wants to spend this kind of time with me, so I don't really have much leverage.
You've got to pay for your friends, so, you know.
Exactly. Right. Let's dive into the right-wing world with Eric Byrne, see what's doing. Okay. Wow, the rhetoric about the whole Susan Coleman. They're just not good losers, are they? Whole Susan Coleman Parenthood thing.
No, they can't get off this thing.
And you know what's weird is because Dana Loesch is usually so pleasant. You don't get to choose to overrule the choice of another person because you're a bigot and you believe that age, you're an ageist bigot, and you think that children who can't, individuals who can't speak for themselves who are not as far developed as you somehow don't count. Fetuses?
Yeah,
your
like
choice ends
something.
There. Oh, wow. Oh, you're being an ageist bigot because you're presumably older than the fetus. So you're, I see.
Which is like negative one at age or something. Negative 0.5, I don't know.
You're discriminating against zygotes.
Listen, I think we all know I don't have anything against younger women. Anyway.
Well, I think the Republicans are actually organizing the zygotes this year into kind of a new two-point, offshoot movement, I heard. I don't know.
Wow, that's a new development. They're really getting desperate. Wow, we're being ageist.
Just gossip.
If we're pro-choice. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Wow. That's a stretch.
Yeah. See how you are, Jim, about clumps of cells?
Zygotes.
You're just bitter old. You're a bitter old dude.
Given driver's licenses and passports. Immediately upon conception.
What about military service?
That slackers. Sure. And what are they paying in taxes?
Okay. All right. They probably envy.
How would they carry a gun? I don't know.
Yeah, they envy us our viability, I guess, and we envy their youth. Okay. Wow. Okay.
We're all going to hell.
Yeah. Maybe I need to do the show on no sleep more often because Dana Loesch is making some kind of weird sense to me. Okay. Steve Hayes on Brit Bear.
Well, I think the turnout numbers are significant. If you want to look at the most important two states in terms of the general election, of the numbers that you just showed there, Florida down 14.2%. Nevada down 25.8%. That's a smaller number in Nevada, smaller number of total votes. But that's a problem. Those are swing states. Those are states Republicans are going to need to win or do very well in if they're going to be competitive. South Carolina, where there was a surge, up 35%. If Republicans don't win South Carolina, this is a landslide of, 1984 proportions. So in the states where Republicans need to do better, need to have an energized electorate, they're not doing that, at least thus far.
Mm. Wow. Yikes. Were you supposed to mention that out loud? The low turnout in the Republican primaries?
Yeah, I think those weren't the talking points. He went off script there. You got a call from Roger Ailes. What are you doing?
I think the red light started flashing in the control room. Well, that is one of the big stories, though, isn't it? That, you try to find a storyline. If I have to read Mint Mentum in a headline, I'm like, really?
Oh, no. They're
it's
not.
The lowest turnout ever.
Yeah, well, because they keep having these caucuses where, like, nine people show up. And then it's, I've got a mandate. But then, of course, it just goes to somebody, a different candidate each time. But we may have, 37 people voting in all of the primaries combined on the right.
Did you say that, apparently the Mitt Romney campaign's training its sights now on Rick Santorum? Did you see the picture of the Sharon Engel endorsement rally? I mean... 28 people, including both staffs.
Wow.
Including both staffs. 28 people. That's a big...
Dun-da-da!
They could have tried to Photoshop it, make it
something,
look like,
right? You know, I'm starting to feel bad for them.
We're doubling wigs and hats and things.
These Romney, they're just like, you know, it's destroy Newt Gingrich, now it's destroy Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty lethal machine he's got.
Yeah, and by the way, Google's already done his work for him. I mean,
yeah, I knew that joke was going to come up through
I mean, what more can you do to Frothy?
Frothy Santorum.
All right. Stephen Crowder, oh, he's the comedian, Jim, that they have there on the...
Comedian?
Friends.
This guy should go back to burning the taxpayer-funded incense to whatever pagan foreign deity he's worshiping, because it's not Jesus. Or three, this guy's lying to us, simply trying to score political points, which you see with Barack Obama a lot, and he's rabidly ticked off the Christian voter base, so he probably needs to appeal them a little bit.
Was there a joke in there somewhere?
How's that sexy right-wing comedy tour doing?
Greg Gutfeld's going to be coming on to really boost up the talent.
They ain't got to get that cranked up.
Yeah, because he's just hilarious.
They're leaving money on the table there.
He's no Dennis Miller. Catchy.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, more right-wing world with Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, what all the kids are listening to. What? It is the...
Stop it.
Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. Eric, the delightful Eric Burns, Bullfight Strategy in the studio.
Moving up in the world already.
Yeah.
it's a live right-wing world. With Eric Burns. Dave Briggs on Fox and Friends.
The Super Bowl, says this article, is a no-shushing event. No shh. Again, I have to take issue with this.
You're a big shusher.
Look, I'm not there for the commercials like my friend here. I'm there for the game and the commentary. I don't want you yapping. If you want to yap out the commercials, go watch it on the other TV with the ladies in the kitchen.
Hello. A little old-fashioned dollop of sexism.
Wow, I'm shocked. On Fox and Friends?
Real men don't watch the commercials.
Yeah. And who does it? And who watches the Super Bowl for the game anymore?
I know, exactly.
Seriously, like...
Eric, I forgot to ask. Might I go take a walk on my nice pins and get you some coffee?
if you guys had any good coffee...
What's a dame doing hosting a radio show?
I know, right? Yeah. Look at the gams on that one.
Get back there and make me a sandwich.
Yeah. Hey, I dropped my pen, Stephanie. Can you pick that up for me?
Yeah, a little slower.
Mostly my job is bringing Jim his pad so that he can might write out his little comedy skits. All right.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
You get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Everything sounds better with a Chicago accent.
You know what's wrong about that? I never, ever say get away. Okay.
Sure.
How monstrously insecure she is.
It is. All right. Lila Rose, anti-abortion activist on... Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Must we? We had Dana Loesch now from The Dana Show.
Yeah.
What have I done to you?
They're using this issue as a front to garner public support and public funding for an abortion business.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And Susan G. Komen was caught up in this in the last few years. They tried to separate themselves, and now they're facing enormous attacks because of the power of Planned Parenthood's PR machine, which is, by the way, of course, paid for by taxpayers like us.
That's how I'll get Mitt Romney money. I'll start an abortion business.
Yes.
Thanks.
I've always wanted to go into that business. Yeah, it's very profitable, I've heard. And like, it's Susan G. Komen. Like,
wow.
They do like a fun run, right? I mean, that's, you know.
Yes, yes. Eric, here's what, you know, you do so well at Bullfight and did, you know, previously at Media Matters. They keep repeating this over and over. Planned Parenthood is primarily an abortion provider.
Not true.
Mike Huckabee repeated it on Fox and Friends yesterday. He said they provide some services, I'll grant you that, but maybe on the fringes, the external portion of what they are primarily all about. In fact, abortion services, 3%. It's hard to do the math. It's 3% of the medical services.
That is a liberal bias.
No federal funding at all. I argue with my mother-in-law about this all the time whenever I go to Michigan, and it's always the same argument.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what's a...
It's a fat-free world they live in over
there. Here's what's fun for us is right-wingers, sometimes not so bright, not so good at the satire or the irony. This happens all the time. A Republican posted something from The Onion thinking it was...
Oh, you're serious?
Yeah.
The audacity of dope. You know, it's...
Yep.
Congressman posts satirical attack on Planned Parenthood from The Onion as news. Congressman John Fleming, Republican of Louisiana, posted a link to an outrageous story about Planned Parenthood's intentions to build an $8 billion abortionplex.
Abortionplex?
Who thinks this is... I was going to say, who's stupid enough to think this is real? John Fleming, apparently.
Wow. How do you
Louisiana.
I hate to be the president. How do you retract that one?
Yeah. Complete with a shopping mall, movie theater, and three-story nightclub. The joke appears to have been lost on Fleming. More on Planned Parenthood, abortion by the wholesale, wrote Fleming as he posted the link.
Oh my God.
Hours after it was posted, they deleted it because someone sent, Congressman, you're a great big dope.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're going to look really stupid.
There was probably...
Huh?
You see the comments on there? How did you get elected?
Yeah. Yeah. There was probably 30 minutes of outrage debate in the congressional office before that he posted that.
Maybe they thought they were voting for Peggy Fleming.
Exactly. Oh, he's the one. He already got famous. He was the one that complained that he and his family struggled to live on $400,000 a year.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
Tough out there for a gangster.
All right. Well, you know what, Congressman? You, in fact, where is my... I can't find my... Oh, there it is. Okay.
Abortion plex.
With a nightclub.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I think I'm going to buy some URLs at abortionplex.com. You never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens. And so the other thing everybody's talking about, of course, is this Pete Hoekstra racial ad. God. It's just, it's the same play every year.
Yes,
racism, sexism, homophobia, just in a wheel. Michigan Republican Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra's campaign came under scrutiny Monday for a controversial Super Bowl ad targeting our good friend, Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Oh, yeah. That was,
It depicts an Asian woman speaking in broken English, facetiously thanking Stabenow for encouraging federal spending. Okay.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy gets very weak.
Oh.
Ours get very good. We take your job. Thank you, Debbie Stabenow.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spend It Now and Pete Spend It Now.
Oh, my God. Oh.
So that would be the right-wing comedy
here? Well, obviously American and speaks perfect English, but make it more sound foreign.
Yeah. Sound foreign.
Sound like you just got here off the bus. Sound illegal.
Oh, God.
Well, the leader...
I have an Asian friend in Hollywood, former groundling, who said that she actually has gotten that note. Can you make it a little more Asian?
Sound scarier, less Christian, you know? What the lead in music on the ad, I actually thought was y'all just like, you know, with one of your sound effects.
No.
I don't know. The dong dong. Yeah,
no.
That's actually the ad.
Mm-hmm.
And it will probably work.
I love the news story on it. The backdrop is meant to evoke China. Oh, you think? It was so subtle.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have sussed that out.
A little bit, maybe?
No. It was a field in Northern California. It was nowhere near China. That's where they filmed it.
But the point is that, yes, Chinese taking our jobs. And
but an hour after you watch the commercial, you're hungry for more.
Jim Ward. The other thing that's ironic, of course, is Debbie Stabenow was very key in the auto rescue that saved how many American jobs in American industry. It's just
it's Republicans that are destroying jobs here.
Mitt Romney's the one that sent all the jobs to China.
But if you listen to Mitt Romney, it's Barack Obama who just ruined when he tried to run the auto industry.
Time to do a Kim Jong-il ad for Mitt Romney, Jim. 25 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would have gone so far?
Of course he did. She'll do anything for attention.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Comedian extraordinaire Judy Tenuta joins us live in studio next hour.
Could happen.
Yeah. Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies live in studio with us this hour, and he is delightful. However, apparently, you have your own jingle on Bill Press's show and not on this show, which I am horrified about.
I know, me too.
Particularly
I
mean, since
I wouldn't have come if I had known that I was going to be
particularly
doing,
since Art in Chicago, everybody's favorite caller to our show, has his own jingle now. He is roughly 1,000.
Who's the caller? Who's on line three? In Chicago, it's Art by Black P. And what Steffi does not agree. What we all think he is the bee's knees. Yes, we love him to stay and hear what he will say. In Chicago, it's Art by Black P.
Thank you, Mike. Working on Wax Cylinder now.
Yeah. You should have, like, derby hats that you wear when that plays, you know, to really make it really punctuated.
And I think Art is listening right now, and I think he's a little tickled.
I didn't call.
He tried to
play my theme song.
He tried to slam down his cell phone yesterday. It's hilarious.
Yeah. And then when he was still there, he was like, you called me back. I'm like, no, I didn't, Art. Hello, Sue.
Hey, it's the female Art by Cracky. Hi.
Hello, by Cracky.
Listen, this guy, John Fleming, not only is he already a moron and bought into the abortion plex thing, but the guy is a doctor.
Wow.
Wow.
He is an actual MD. His specialty, supposedly, is chemical dependency issues, and me thinks he's been smoking this stuff too much.
Yeah, something. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Sue. Yeah, it's just an endless wonder.
Were there a couple
wonder.
Of Republican doctors on the, how they diagnosed Terry Schiavo from the House floor?
Yes, yes, from the video. Bill Frist.
Yeah, Bill Frist. Yes. Yes, the amazing kind of creepy
video diagnosis. Yeah,
oh, she's
she
fine.
Could be doing a marathon next year, yeah. You know, from everything I can see.
Those Republican doctors, woo. Judgment.
Yeah. You don't need to come in. I can see.
Doing a concert with David Helfgott. He'll be in.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, this headline makes me so sad. The Tea Party is dead. How the movement fizzled in 2012's GOP primaries. Well, you know.
I don't have a career left. Are you kidding?
This is the saddest news for you.
You'd have to call Glenn Beck and just give him advice. I'd be like, okay, come on, dude. Seriously, you're killing me.
I mean, this is interesting. Somebody writes, after months of wondering how the Tea Party would change the primary game, leaders inside the movement admit they never came off the sidelines. For the Tea Party movement, the 2012 presidential primaries have been a bust. The Tea Party movement is dead. It's gone, said Chris Littleton. He's the co-founder of a statewide coalition of Tea Party groups in Ohio. I think largely the Tea Party is irrelevant in the primaries. They aren't passionate about any of the candidates, and if they are passionate, they're for Ron Paul. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
But I think this is like the whole, you know, the greatest thing the devil ever did was convince the world he didn't exist. And this is what they did with the Tea Party originally.
Yeah.
They oh, it's a grassroots uprising.
Yeah.
And there, of course, there are no political operatives involved.
Well, I mean, one of the Tea Party activists is saying the most, not Romney, of course, still the most popular candidate among his fellow activists. You know, they're saying one possible reason for the lack of consensus, Romney, Gingrich, Santorum have each committed what most in the movement consider original sins against constitutional freedom or fiscal sanity. Gingrich and Romney both supported the TARP bank bailout in 2008, as well as individual mandates and health insurance. Santorum voted for the Bridge to Nowhere, among other massive earmarks. So, you know, they're all...
Yeah. Well, and how do you choose, if you're a lunatic, like a Tea Party person, how do you choose between that kind of lunacy? It's kind of like, it's like a buffet of lunacy on the right wing, and it's just overwhelming, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Littleton says nominee Romney would be greeted by Tea Partiers with something between skepticism and disgust. I mean, that's going to be the whole thing in the presidential is turnout, right?
Absolutely. And you know, so the Republicans either have to, you know, drive up the I hate Obama, he's got to go, you know, enthusiasm on the right.
Right.
Because it's not going to be there for any of these guys. You know?
Yeah, yeah. They will just dive and stop using code. They won't even...
Yeah.
It's, he's black.
Yeah.
Just
black. And whatever firm did that Hoekstra ad, they'll just have them do.
Yes.
It was the same one that did the Demon Sheep ad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Newt Gingrich and others not even using dog whistles. I was saying, you know, forget Sarah Palin. He needs to just have Dr. Laura come out and just scream the N-word repeatedly at rallies.
Yeah.
Just.
They're great sets to do that ad. You know, Rick Perry's Ranch, they have this rock.
Yes.
Right? With,
he needs to hold a press conference
N-word.
There.
It's like the size of Chris Christie, exactly, 5 foot by 3
right.
foot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. With Dr. Laura at his side, just go for it. You know,
just go all the way.
Go full racist Monty. You know, just. That's the thing is, I think they're even discombobulated in their news stories here. The next story is Tea Party warming or resigned to Mitt Romney. They can't decide. Do they hate him or they just don't care? Or
I don't think they resigned to anybody. I mean, these are the guys that were bringing like automatic weapons to the Capitol.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is Associated Press story. Long skeptical Mitt Romney, Tea Party activists are either warming up to him or reluctantly backing him after abandoning hope of finding any better.
I think this is going back.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
Forming new militias is what I think may be happening.
Yeah. Mm. We haven't gone away, insisted Amy Kremer, somebody. She's no Kathy Durr. You know what I'm saying?
Durr.
Chairwoman.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle back.
Mm-hmm.
What is she, Richard Nixon? Take off your lace panties, you know, pink right down to your underwear. I mean, come on.
She's
a woman.
She's the chairwoman of the National Tea Party Express. In the same breath, she acknowledged lower expectations and a shift to focus in Senate races over the White House campaign. Now they just don't care.
That's always really bad, Spen. The shift line, that's another one.
We're shifting our focus.
Yes.
Let's see. South Carolina exit polls showing only 1 in 4 self-described Tea Party supporters backed Romney in the primary, which Gingrich, of course, ended up winning. But 10 days later, 41% of Tea Partiers in Florida's primary chose Romney. In Nevada, entrance polls show he won 47% of the Tea Party vote. So it's hard to tell. Like, either they're just lost the will to live or, you know.
Well, look, we know that Romney has this lethal campaign machine, right? Yeah. I mean, they can just destroy people, and maybe they may be leading these folks to the polls at gunpoint or something. forcibly getting them there.
Something.
Who knows?
Nudie, yesterday.
You know, we nominated a moderate in 1976 and he lost. We nominated a moderate in 1996 and he lost. We nominated a moderate in 2008 and he lost. The elite media would love to talk us into nominating another moderate.
Yes, please. Go with someone thoroughly despicable this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they could find one.
Nudie again.
I think we've really got to set the stage to have a campaign this fall in which we have a team running so that we can win the Senate, we can win the House. We can start doing things from day one.
Oh, and he's always been a team player. That's
absolutely.
What people in Washington say, Newt Gingrich, team player.
Does anyone actually like Newt Gingrich?
No.
I don't even think his wife likes him. I don't even know if Newt likes Newt.
What's that famous conversation between him and Dole? He's like, why do people take such a dislike to me? And Dole said, it saves time. Save some time. What's such an immediate dislike? It saves some time. All right, Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry.
My goal is, with Governor Perry's help and others, to have basically be about tied in delegates around the time we come out of Texas.
Okie dokie.
Why would you ever want Rick Perry's help with anything? This is my former boss, by the way. I'm from Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Really? That was a little baby Republican.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
And, not a nice guy. Not someone you want with a finger on the button.
No.
But,
Oops.
You know.
Oops.
Yeah. And he's like Boss Tweed in Texas politics, but I ain't got help in the general.
Yeah.
You know, he's very, very unpopular.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe he can help Newton.
Really? And he's such a strong debater. That's shocking.
Because he's so smart, you know, that he just, his mind moves so fast. What happens is, like, when he kind of starts drooling on a debate stage.
Yeah.
He's just got so many ideas going.
Right.
You know, that was
all
nice
of them bad.
Sure. It's just a whole bunch of bad ideas just clashing together. And okay.
And there was a third one.
W gave it to me before he left. I can't remember. Dang it.
Aw, poor little Ron Paul with his floaty old man head and his big giant cartoon suit. There he is.
We have 3 or 4 caucus days.
Oops.
Yeah. Ron Paul. That's right. It was Ron. It's not Ron Paul?
That was Ron Paul, but that was
have 3 or 4 caucus days that we believe our numbers are doing pretty good, so we have to just wait and see and continue to do exactly what we're doing.
Okay, bye, Greggy. Wow, by the way, we're saying that's like the Tea Partiers, he's the only one that now they seem to, you know, fiscal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Ron Paul reimbursed twice for airline tickets. Champion for smaller government, Ron Paul appears to have been reimbursed twice for travel between his congressional district in Washington with both taxpayer and campaign funds. Oh, dear.
Oh, Lord.
He has staked his presidential campaign, of course, on a vow to slash government spending, but allegations he may have received thousands of dollars in excess payments could taint his image and hurt his campaign, which he's already unelectable, so I don't know what that means.
Well, look, in this economy, Stephanie, they're trying to really show how bad it is. I mean, when Mitt Romney's got to go get something, you know, go get a refund from the government, you know, food stamp Romney.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't make anything on speaking fees last year.
Not much.
It's only $400,000. What? That's
lunch money. Chump change. All right. Frothy the Santorum on Romney.
Governor Romney is absolutely incapable of making the case against Obamacare successfully and therefore greatly damages our ability to be able to win this election.
Oh, dear. So Mitt Romney.
What do you mean, we, Kimosabe?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney has begun to train its the campaign train its site on Rick Santorum over the past 48 hours, reflecting that Romney's campaign's concern he may pose the freshest threat to Romney's frontrunner. Can the Santorum bubble burst twice? That is messy. There are not enough hazmat suits.
It's the law of physics.
Does anyone think that Santorum can make a convincing argument about anything? I mean, he looks like a kid wearing his dad's suit up on those stages. Does anyone take this guy seriously?
And he pretty much is.
He actually visited a sweater vest factory, didn't he? Yes.
Oh, wow.
And get the sweater vest crowd. Really, who wears sweater vests?
He does. Yeah. And he really should not wear the brown one.
No.
Because that's the problem. It's the color of the sweater. Not the fact he's wearing the sweater vest.
Okay. Rick Santorum.
You here in Minnesota tomorrow can have a huge impact. The press is liking to write the story that there's an inevitability to Obama light on health care being the Republican nominee.
Yeah. All right, Rothy. Your candidacy about to melt in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
Today, by the way, three states, right? Where are we today? In Colorado and
Missouri and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out the way over there. I got confused. I was like, oh hell.
Yeah, it's a little hard to keep getting it up, isn't it? It's primary day. Okay.
Yeah.
Is any of that going to matter, or?
You mean
today's states? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think. Perhaps because you have the candidates like splitting off and going each into their own,
right.
You know, what they believe to be their strong areas. And so I don't know, you know, as we've seen with the polling all along, as you mentioned earlier, the polling is just erratic. It's all over the place because nobody really knows. No one really likes anybody.
Right.
So I guess in theory you could have, you know, a couple of folks win.
Right. I mean, they're saying the one thing that might actually change things is if Santorum dropped out and they solidified around Newt as the...
Yes.
But as you say, Santorum may win today, so it's like he's saying, like, why are you...
By three votes.
Yeah.
Yay.
But who's telling Santorum he actually has a shot to, anything beyond...
Before Florida, right? I mean, there have been three contests. Each of them won one.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, today's a little weird, too, because Missouri has... They're non-binding delegates that they win there, so those people could go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And also, Gingrich isn't on the ballot officially in Missouri, but he's still winning the polling in Missouri.
Yes.
So that's kind of weird right there.
Yeah.
But even though this cast of idiots, I mean, they're going to really get behind Newt Gingrich. I mean, the guy who, you know, got essentially ejected for all the ethics violations. And, I mean, this, you know, shut down the
phone. I love my favorite thing they interviewed, I guess, exit polling.
This is what they got?
They did exit poll, well, which was a shock to me. They exit polled women who were not fond of Gingrich for some reason.
Really?
I don't. But there was one woman interviewed that just made me furious seeing Calista up there with all her jewels.
She got those when she was working for Gingrich in the Capitol when she was a staffer.
She was the mistress.
And that's okay.
Chicks don't dig that. Okay.
You think?
All right. 47 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies, former president of Media Matters, who is entitled to respect that he's entitled to.
That's right.
Something.
Respect me.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
He would like you to tear down this bitch of a bearing wall.
That's right.
Put in a window where it ought to be.
And I never use wire hangers. My mother taught me well. No wire hangers. Now, I asked for the title of subcomandante, and they just wouldn't give it to me. I don't know.
Eric, this is what you do best is debunking spin. How about this spin? Romney campaign spins low turnout. Voters staying at home secretly support Romney.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? With just 33...
you have to debunk it. That's just really bad. I mean, I don't know how you...
That's bad spin.
With 33,000 voters showing up at the Nevada caucuses on Saturday, Republicans may be quietly concerned about a lack of enthusiasm for their candidates.
Doesn't that sound like the Goldwater Miller campaign? In your heart, you know he's right.
Yeah.
We're deep, deep, deep in
the
silent
vote for
majority.
Him, in your heart.
And internal organs that will never make it to the voting booth.
The silent majority, they're all at home watching the commercials from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
John Sununu, former governor, who's a Romney surrogate, he was on MSNBC, and he said, well, in an odd sense, when turnout is down, contrary to what you're hearing, people are satisfied with the winning and the candidate that's winning. They're satisfied with Romney.
Oh, my God.
There's no need to show any sort of outward support.
Now, see, that's bad spin because when people are excited, they show up.
Yes.
We need to explain that to anybody except maybe John.
Get excited for about a surrogate. They're like, oh, that is really bad spin. I mean, that's...
But, like, John Sununu?
Yeah.
That's the best you got?
Exactly.
I don't know.
In fact, as you mentioned earlier, a new poll showing the more voters learn about Romney, the less they like him.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada Republican County Chairman initially predicted as many 70,000 Nevadans would participate. So that was about half. It was not only lower than expectations, but 10,000 fewer than participated in 2008.
Yeah.
His vote total was more than 25% lower than it was in 2008. That's momentum for you.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
That's a killer facts is what I would call that. Bad facts, killer facts.
Yeah.
Not good.
You know, it's interesting. Paul Krugman did this. I don't know if you saw this piece, Obama the Moderate. He quotes Keith Poole's Vote View. It's a site that's produced estimates of presidential positions on a left-wing scale since 1945. And it's a way of, you know, sort of quantitatively debunking this sort of, you know, Kenyan socialist, whatever.
Nazi, Maoist, whatever.
Yeah. Obama is the least liberal Democratic president since World War II and presumably the least liberal since Woodrow Wilson. There's an actual, graph and rankings based on,
Wilson was pretty liberal, wasn't he? I mean, I wasn't alive back then.
Krugman writes, I'm not bashing Obama, by the way. I wish he took stronger stands, but I think he's moving in that direction. Also, even if his health care was devised by Heritage and implemented by Romney, it's still a lot better than nothing. The point is, instead, it's that this very moderate Democrat is portrayed by the right, not to mention the aforementioned Romney, as a radical redistributionist when the real radicals are on the other side and now we have numbers. So, I mean,
Krugman has a point.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's what we've been saying. It's this Republican Party that has moved so far to the right.
Yeah.
You know, when you think that even what Romney, all of them are proposing is to the 10th power what George Bush proposed. I mean, they're talking about making it even worse in terms of income inequality, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like Genghis Khan were here, he would be an independent for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be like, these guys are crazy. Yeah. I'm going back to Mongolia to take over some, you know.
I mean, it's incredible the kind of spin. Yeah. I love that. I did this earlier from the Department of Big Balls. Virginia Governor Bob O'Donnell said Sunday that Republican governors deserve credit for the improving economy, not the president. He said, I'm glad the economy is starting to recover, but I think it's what Republican governors are doing in their states, not because of the president.
Spending the money that Obama gave them to actually improve the economy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also paying their salaries, too.
Actually, McDonald did not elaborate on what the governors have done.
Of course not.
But I think, you know, Rick Scott and Scott Walker's wild popularity speak for themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think enough said.
Yeah. I don't think Rick Perry was ever able to articulate that either, right? You know, this million new jobs repeated over and over again, even so why. No, but we did it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Oh, here's another bad news poll. Majority of small business owners favor letting the Bush tax cuts for the rich expire. Oops. Remember, that's the whole talking point. Bad for small business. Kill small business. According to a new poll, it's a majority of small business owners both believe that millionaires are not paying their fair share in taxes and favor a higher tax rate for individuals making more than $1 million annually. A majority also favor letting the Bush tax cuts lapse for those making more than $250,000, blunting the Republican claim that letting those tax cuts expire would disproportionately harm small business.
Well, people don't realize that most small business owners in this country are socialists, and that's why they feel that way.
They're all Muslim,
yes,
as you know.
Muslim socialists. Socialist.
Kenyan. Yes. Kenyan-born.
Yeah. That too.
Yes.
Let's see their birth certificates. Huh?
I mean,
when the small business guys come out against you, business. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, something smells in the kitchen.
This is what they're left with. This is what they're left with. I think we played this clip yesterday. Fox and Friends, pretty sure the Labor Department is cooking the books on job numbers.
I know. Isn't that, it's just incredible that they would, they just throw that stuff out there and you know.
This is an actual Eric Bowling. Uh-huh. So are they playing around with the numbers? Just asking. Fox questions.
Yeah, it is. As long as you put a question mark at the end of it, it's okay.
Right. Look, it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's supposed to be nonpartisan, but that's the Department of Labor. I mean, Hilda Solis heads the Department of Labor. Hilda Solis works directly for Obama.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because no one else in the Department of Labor has ever worked for the president.
And they'll probably accuse her of being and one of them illegals, too.
Sure. Yeah. Deucey, are you saying they're cooking the books? Bowling, I'm saying there's room for error. There's room when you're talking about 4 million people. How do you know? Deucey, how do you know?
Well, it's the name Solis. What'd that tell you, huh?
And then Gretchen Carlson with the tip-in. I don't think anyone should be surprised in an election year, so it's an interpretation. I think it's the way we describe it.
Yeah.
No, you dope.
Computer says no.
No, it's numbers. It's math.
Wow.
Eric Burns. Sort of,
who knows?
Yeah.
Eric, who knows?
Who knows? Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategy, yes. You are a delight, sir.
Thank you very much, as are you guys, and thank you so much for having me.
We will see you live again in the studio.
Definitely.
Judy Tenuta next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, Jim, suddenly you just know your day's going to be better when Judy Tenuta walks in and goes, I'll just use the accordion for punctuation.
Well, I don't want to punish you.
I was like, please, we are going to need punctuation.
Well, there's so much going on, as you know.
Good morning, Judy Tenuta.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. Oh, and to the Studsicles, too.
Chris.
And Jim. Chris,
yeah,
and
the Studsicles. That's what I call them.
I heard it on the way here. It was a very nice drive, I might add.
You look fabulous. And Jim, Jim has not stopped staring at your rack.
Oh, really?
Well, I took
move
time.
The accordion.
I took time to look at your ass, too.
Oh, I'm just so... You know, at my age, Stephanie, you know how it is. That's nice you hear that. You know, I know.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl, because Madonna, too old. I thought, part of the choreography, or did she just fall?
Okay, but here's my favorite thing. Here's my favorite thing that we have to talk about the Super Bowl and Madonna. But I love Madonna, but may I say, I thought slavery was abolished.
Yeah.
Did you see? She had 10,000 slaves pulling her out, and I'm like, and then, you know, you hear all the hype that she's doing it for free, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, how much did it cost to put that on?
Yeah, right.
But I mean, but it was amazing.
It was.
But my favorite thing is, why did she even have to show up? She had Cirque du Soleil doing all the flips.
She could have been a hologram.
Am I right?
Because she's 100.
She was lip syncing.
Yes.
And, you know, and the cheekbones were up to Mount Everest.
Yeah.
She didn't really need that.
No.
But, you know.
Listen, I was telling Chris, because I've been doing Sexy Liberal, and she's, you know, a little older than I am, but I'm like, that's what I look like. I'm tottering around. I'm falling over amps.
I am too old
to be on tour.
No, honey, I loved it that she slipped a little. Like, oh, yeah, you go, girl. I mean, just so that I didn't feel so bad. Because I already had
concern. I was like, oh, she's too old. Grandma, don't. Okay.
Well, wait a minute, Steph. How about she's a little too old for that new song? Give me all your love. Give me your love. What is she like? I mean, it's like grandma singing to the little boys. You know, I mean, her boyfriend is like 24.
Right. Yes.
You know.
My milkshake brings all the boys to
you. Hey, listen, I'm all for opening up a Demi Moore daycare center. You know, I love her. They've got to stop talking about that 911 call. I mean, please.
I know.
They've got to stop that.
I'm dating a youngin. My girlfriend's 17 years younger.
I feel her pain. No, I'm just jealous. I wish I could do that. I'm thinking of going through menopause.
Listen,
so
I understand.
That I can give menopause. No offense.
Right. Give menopause.
Menopause. That needs punctuation.
Oh, yeah. I love the way, you know, I didn't even get that, and Stephanie has to tell me. Give men a pause. Okay.
Now, I'm just saying I understand the pressures of being with someone much younger and hotter, and she obviously is having some trouble.
I don't blame her.
She just went to rehab, right, somewhere?
Yeah.
You shouldn't
be
doing nitrous oxide when you're 20, let alone when you're...
The problem, though, is that she's got those 20-year-old daughters, and don't you think they were having the whipped cream with her?
Yeah. Maybe. Well, she wasn't having the whipped cream because that has calories.
Sorry, I thought that. Oh,
just
the
air.
Whipped cream, just the air.
Nitrous oxide.
But I don't know how to do that because I am I'm in college. I always go in the refrigerator and go, I do that with the whipped cream. I mean, I love
it. It's just
that.
A Linda Lovelace movie in your kitchen every night.
Not at night. I don't eat past, I try not to eat past 8, because I'll be up all night, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you look fabulous. Demi Moore. They were saying that she was partying with Miley Cyrus like a week before.
That's a bad idea.
What is going on there?
I think
she's the bong princess.
She was there with her daughter and their friends. She's the Amy Poehler hip mom and Mean Girls.
Yeah,
partying
with. Oh, okay. That's true. That's true. But, I mean, if you're partying, you know if you're partying with Miley Cyrus, you're going to get some. You're going to have some.
Something.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. And I don't know if Demi, you know, because, like, she only weighs, what, 85 pounds?
85.
Wow.
Roughly.
No, yes. Really. She, yeah. Yeah. So,
Roughly Chris Christie's pinky. She weighs as much as, yeah. Thank you.
What is going on with him? This one. Chris Christie complaining about Newt Gingrich. I mean, I thought that they were on the same team. What is what's up?
Because they're having the biggest cluster, you know, man fight on the Republican primary.
Yeah. Don't worry about Newt. He's fat.
Yeah, Newt's head is too big. Yeah, in fact, I heard that Newt is going to he's going to be sort of benevolent and he's going to rent his head out as a shelter for the homeless.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of room in there. He does care about the poor,
well,
though. More than Romney.
There's nothing in there. So there's some space, you know, that could be used for that.
It's like a Macy's Day Parade float. I mean, there's room. Why not? Now, because that's the thing, you can't tell between Donald Trump and, like, who are the Herman Cain, who are the performers, who are the actual, and now our friend Roseanne is jumping in.
Hey, Stephanie, you know, I'm running on the platform and crap, and, you know, I'm with a green tea party, and first of all, I'm going to have all of my meetings at the hometown buffet, and, you know, I'm ganja for everyone, and I want to abolish the electorate. No, that is true. She did say she's against the Electoral College.
Yes. Yeah. She's right. She wants the Green Party nomination.
Yeah. Yeah. She's in it. She got it.
Oh, did she?
She's
going
to be on the ballot. I heard it this morning. Wow. I did listen to the news a little this morning.
That's awesome.
No, that was like, oh, my. But how is she going to do that? Because she also has a pilot, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. This is what I heard. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got a pilot, and also, I'm running for president, so it should work out.
Either way.
Well, hey, you know, if Donald Trump is having the...
Yeah.
By the way, would you ever do that? You would be great on that.
Oh, running for something? No. You can take virtually a tape of any day of the show, and I would immediately be disqualified for something.
But why? You have no scandal. You know, you almost do need a scandal to run, don't you?
Well, it gets your name in the paper.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, hey, case in crap, you know, everybody knows everything about me. I was married to Tom Arnold and stuff. And, yeah, you know, we would be doing it, and I'd say, are you in yet? Yeah, I don't know. Terrible. I'm sorry. No.
Now, what was I gonna? Yeah, I could probably do something to piss off those million moms and get some publicity. Oh. Have you seen that? They wanted JCPenney to fire Ellen DeGeneres for being a homo gay.
Now, here's what I don't get, okay? These are the same people that are watching her show.
Right.
They watch the Ellen show.
Right.
So obviously, right?
Right.
I mean, and they enjoy that.
Well,
how could they be against her?
Their previous protest was against sweaty balls ice cream. They wanted Ben and Jerry's to stop marketing sweaty balls.
Oh, I didn't know about this. You'll have to inform me.
Yeah.
What is this now?
It was an ice cream that Ben and Jerry's had named, and you know they were thinking of the children.
It was really called that?
Yes, it was off to the Saturday Night Live skit, and so they.
Alec Baldwin.
Yes, Alec Baldwin. I'm sorry. That's bad. I don't go into Ben and Jerry's too much.
We were just saying yesterday, I think the million moms are persnickety. If you don't like lesbians or sweaty balls, I mean, what is there for you?
Like?
What's your demographic?
What exactly
turns
you on?
They like Target. I don't know what they're, you know.
Judy Tenuta, tell us about Put a Ring on It.
Stephanie, you know Chris and James, I knew Stephanie from Chicago. We're both. I don't know if you're actually from Chicago.
No, I used to live there and work there.
Oh, I know.
And radio,
because we've were always there at the radio station. Okay, so this is me, and you know my gay friend James does the pictures, and I go, James, really, you don't need to Photoshop me. I mean, I hate. I mean, it's not like I have a pizza head and a 700-pound body.
No,
right?
You're hot.
James, what are you doing with this? You know, but anyway, I'm just prefacing that.
But it's at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. I love John. I didn't even know he had a comedy club at Universal.
Get over, really?
I did
not.
Yes,
yes.
It's fabulous. At the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Plaza here in L.A.
In beautiful. Yeah, and it's a great stage. I love it because, you see, John
This Saturday?
This Saturday. Okay. It's the pre-Valentine. I give it the pre-Valentine's so that way, because, you know, really, you guys know, Valentine's right. is really for women, I feel.
Sure.
I feel.
Sure.
Because men just have the Super Bowl, although I love the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I love it. Yeah. I just really love it.
Yeah.
But, and I even watched the whole game, but.
Me too.
Yeah.
Did you? Are you taking a side in the whole Gisele Bündchen controversy?
You know, here, yeah, I would like to say, you know, yeah, she's going to be a little upset.
Right.
But here's how I look at it, right? I mean, the Giants were the underdog. And I look at, you know, you look at Tim Brady. I'm Tom Brady. Sorry,
Tom Brady.
Tim. It's still morning for me. Yeah, Tom Brady, and I mean, does he get to have everything? I mean, come on, he's got Gisele. He's got three rings already.
Right.
But he wants to be up there with Joe Montana. You know, there's only two guys.
Yeah, there was a story yesterday in the paper about he was, like, spent, like, half the night in the locker room with a towel over his head. And you appreciate, identify with that, like, call to greatness, because I love my mediocrity. So he's really just like,
come on, sexy liberal.
No,
yeah.
But
come on,
he's
sexy
just
liberal.
I was like, oh, whatever. It's just a game. Get over it. Go have some beer or something.
But it is the biggest game in the world.
I know.
It is the biggest game in the world. Well, it's humiliating. I mean, usually he throws great passes, but this one he threw, and the guy's like, really? I got to go this way. That one pass. Do you know where
but a couple. But she was right. They did drop a couple of really
they did
well
they thrown did.
Passes. I thought.
And, you know, and everything is so microscopic. That's the thing. There's no privacy about anything. I'm sure she didn't know there was a camera there. Number
right.
one, but number two. Well, no, really.
And technically, she is right. Her husband can't throw it and catch it at the same time.
But also, let's cut her a little bit of a break. Her husband just lost the Super Bowl. I'm going to be kind of emotional.
Yes.
You know, right?
She, by the way, apparently is the only NFL wife that makes more than her husband.
I saw that. So you can't accuse her of, you know.
Being a gold digger.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you could accuse him.
Yeah. Dang, no, but he's got 100 mil.
Yeah. He'll
get
by.
He's got 120 mil.
Wow.
So,
you know. Or as Romney would call it, small change.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
lunch
my.
Money.
Yeah, what is that, oinkalicious? That, I mean, I must say he is well-groomed.
Yes.
You know, but you do have to be if you're a Republican. You know, you have to be. Not that the Democrats aren't, but I'm just saying, do you notice that with all the Republicans? I mean, even like Newt Gingrich, you know,
We will get more on Judy Tenuta's take on the Republican field with punctuation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Right back after this.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, a ticker tape Super Bowl parade. Why didn't we get ticker tape for Judy Tenuta's appearance?
Oh, that is so great.
Hello,
yeah.
Judy Tenuta. Live in studio, and you can see her this Saturday at the John Lovitz Comedy Club here at Universal City. Put a ring on it.
Yeah, put a ring on it.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I just kind of use, I mean, you know, you hate to say Valentine's show, you know, but, I mean, it is about the jewelry for the goddess women.
Yeah.
You know,
if you liked it, you should have put a ring on it.
That's right.
Just do what Beyonce says, and everything will go better for you.
I mean, you know, any kind of jewelry's good, or a car. But, you know,
sure. Everybody. Cindy in Phoenix, you're on with Judy Tenuta. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. It's so nice to have two such sexy, lovely, gorgeous, smart, fun women.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, Judy, when you were here in Tempe a few years ago and you had that harem outfit, on, and I think you had the slave boys carry you out of the theater, and it was so cool. And
thank you.
I will be seeing a Sexy Little Show here in Phoenix, even though I am without employment at this time.
Oh.
And you will be in Albuquerque on my birthday. I won't be going there, but anyway, my question.
Well, Cindy, we can't wait to see you. And you know, we much like Mitt Romney, we don't care about poor people. So I'm glad you spent your last shekel on my show. No, I'm kidding.
So. Absolutely, I did. So my question to Judy is, how and when and how and where and all, how did you come to play the accordion? It's hilarious. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. Well, you know, I was raised Catholic. It was my mom's IUD, and I popped out wearing it.
So, hi, ladies.
Seriously, my mom had 9 children. I was just telling Stephanie and Chris and James that. Yeah, really. We were all forced to play the accordion when we were kids. And my brothers were smart enough to, like, show no aptitude. But I was like, oh, I can play this.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, my mom would keep me in the closet until I could play Lady of Spain in the Dark. So, you know, it's all a good.
Well, we were just talking about there's all this controversy with the, you know, Planned Parenthood and now the president's latest. We have a news flash.
Yes.
Most Catholics use birth control, for God's sake.
Yes, I mean, they do.
Yes, sorry to say.
Especially nowadays. My mom, I don't know, I guess she wasn't thinking about it. Just, it's, you know how they say it takes a village? We were a village,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know, the guy that owns the show, Jim, that's trying to kill me for the life insurance, mm-hmm. and he told a little joke yesterday. He said,
okay.
You know what you call people that use the rhythm method? Parents.
Okay,
I told the joke.
Nice!
Of course, without birth control, the population of Chicago would be about 10 billion.
By the way, our Philadelphia Sexy Liberal show, some of the proceeds went to Planned Parenthood. By the way, that's the first time preemptively we got them to back down. And now, yet another victory. Karen Handel, the right-wing Susan Komen executive, has resigned over the plan.
Yeah! Woo, woo, woo! If you like No, come on. You cannot take away funding from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
I mean, we just can't.
Well, Handel. Hallelujah should be the Hallelujah chorus should be the.
And by the way, Ari Fleischer, who was George Bush's press secretary, or what was he?
Press secretary.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Watch what you say.
He admits he personally advised the Komen CEO on Planned Parenthood. Nicely done. Nicely played, sir. He personally advised Komen CEO Nancy Brinker on how to handle the Planned Parenthood issue, and wow, she could not have handled it worse. He previously had been brought in by Komen to assist with an executive search for senior VP of communications. And so, you know, because you're thinking, where do I recognize that level of incompetence? The Bush administration.
Yay! That's what I love about Obama. You know, he is the new Terminator. You know, he got rid of Bin Laden, Gaddafi, yep. and George W. So, yeah.
Woo!
We're dictators.
And here he is talking about Iran yesterday.
Oh.
The president.
Oh.
The president.
I think we have a very good estimate of when they could potentially achieve breakout capacity, what stage they're at in terms of processing uranium. But do we know all the dynamics inside of Iran? Absolutely not.
See, I love the Super Bowl even, because, you know, the beginning was all like, America, yeah,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then I love my favorite was the Like a Prayer Madonna thing, and then the world peace came up, and you could almost hear some people going,
what?
That's gay. That's like gay in French, Breck, what?
And what, no, but the main thing is, why was she dressed, like a monk.
Yes.
I've never seen Madonna, yeah. So, you know, I excuse me, were you just brewing wine? What is this? I mean, she was just
a monk
like
with, you know, me heels.
Yeah. Oh, well, true. That is true.
And
but
she almost leaked herself. Yeah.
I've never seen her with, her neck was even covered.
Yes.
Yeah, so, wow. You know, very.
Tattoo removal, maybe?
Make sure that there could be no, wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for, what's her name? MIA.
But oh, whatever. I know, with the middle finger.
I didn't even notice. Nobody saw it. How do they see these things?
I know. All right, back with more with Judy Tenuta. Woo! On the, thank you, Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to spend my summer giving something back to the community. Chlamydia.
Nice.
You're welcome. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Judy Tenuta, live in studio, with punctuation. I forgot you were from Chicago, but yes. Literally 9 kids, Catholic family.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about my, and you know, I never really understood how difficult it could be to, don't have any children.
No. Oh, dear God, no.
No. And, listen to Chris!
Oh, God.
Why would you say that?
Well, because here is Jim doing an impression of my eggs.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay. That is good. Mm. No, but the thing that I could, you know, you always hear about these Southern Baptist moms who homeschool their kids. Mm-hmm. Duh. Yeah, of course you're going to want to shoot them after you've had them at school all day. Yeah. You've had them at home schooling them all day. No, you hear about that, you know, that the Southern Baptist moms homeschool their kids. They can't take it anymore because the kid talks back. So then they shoot them. And I'm like, well, excuse me, what happened to the good old days when they would send their kids to public school to get shot? You know, I mean, what?
Or get fed sperm.
Okay. That was...
This is an L.A. school system. This has obviously become a national story. This is so disgusting.
So disgusting. Beyond disgusting.
But then they fired the entire staff because they didn't want to be judgmental.
Yeah.
What?
Well, because they found a second guy.
Yeah, a second guy.
That was molesting.
A second guy. But, oh, my God. And then what was
the teacher was feeding. It was like he said it was a taste testing game, and he blindfolded them.
And then cockroaches on their face. What was that?
Yeah, it's just.
But the worst part, yeah, the semen and the.
Okay.
And then I heard that he baked them in cookies.
Oh.
Oh, there was one weird picture of him giving a little girl frosted cookie. Okay. I don't see. This is why we haven't talked about this.
I just think I'm going to buy.
That's why we haven't talked about this much, because we normally are eating breakfast in here, and so we just.
Yeah, but, you know, all those poor babies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a yikes. That is.
Get rid of those pigs. But here's what I hate. You know, these. Why is he even. He should just be put out. He cannot be rehabilitated.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know how many years this has been going on, but it seems like a lot, and it's
he's been there for forever.
Yeah. All right. Do you do the Judy Tenuta the Twitter? Are you addicted to the social media?
You know what?
You...
I'm so bad. I can tweet a little bit, but I never know if it's I know it's going on my Face page. I don't know how do I
face
tweet
page.
You personally?
Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh, you precious lamb.
Face.
You precious
lamb. I'm as bad as my mom. My mom is like, honey, why don't you ever call me? I go, Mom, I call you all the time. You have to answer the cell phone I bought you. And she's like, it's broke. I go, Mom, what do you mean it's broke? Well, it doesn't come on when I clap. No, really, she just doesn't get it. I'm not that bad with electronics.
So
but
she thinks everything's connected
to
the clapper.
My mom is scared of the beep of this show because she'll be like, oh, well, I called you. I'm like, why didn't you leave a message?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't.
She thinks it's CIA or something.
I wanted to talk to you. I'm like, but see, that's why a person then leaves a message, and then I would call you back, you see.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Well, I don't.
There's nobody there on the other end. I feel foolish.
It makes, or if she does, she sounds, it seriously sounds like a hostage. It's like, hello, Stephanie. It makes her really tense.
Yeah.
It's your mother.
They still can't get used to talking on the phone.
But it took my mom ages to learn how to do the answering machine message.
I know.
Hello.
It's so cute. But
you've reached the house.
My mom sounds like that, but now she's given up. She just has the guy on there. It just says,
you have reached the residence.
I know. We're always for years like, Mom, is that you?
So I know how to tweet, and it goes onto the Facebook immediately. I know how to do that. But I don't know how do I get to you personally? I just go to your search for Stephanie Miller and go.
You are worse than I am. That is so magical. You are way worse than I am.
No, but you're.
Oh, well, this is probably good news for us. There's a new study from Gawker. Is Twitter more addictive than booze?
No.
Are we constantly checking our phones because we're holes or addicts? Yeah, Jim, you and I are pretty much, we know where we fall down on that. The Guardian reports on a new study that used BlackBerries to measure the willpower of its subject. Researchers found that participants were mostly able to resist the impulses to drink and even sleep. Twitter, email, and other forms of media, however, were simply too strong.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't.
That's what's wrong with
really?
Kids today.
I am always checking.
Why can't you grow up to be just regular old drunks like Jim and I? What's with the social media?
Apparently, I have a Twitter page. I don't know.
I'm just afraid of losing. I can't afford to lose any more brain cells. Otherwise, I would drink. But, you know.
You know, Judy, we came up in a generation. We always assumed that, you know, we all had pretty huge egos being in show business. But no,
yes.
These kids, we don't even have the ego to think people care what we had for breakfast. Or
yeah, I know.
Or my every thought.
Oh, yeah.
These damn kids today.
I just don't want to know about everything, do we?
No.
Yeah, but
no.
Anyway, but I like to get...
Speaking of people sharing too much, Joan Rivers has revealed she's had 739 surgical procedures.
Oh,
no.
Whoa.
No. Yikes.
Whoa. No. Is one of them getting rid of Chelsea Handler?
No.
Because that was, did you see that SmackDown?
No, what happened?
Oh, whoa. Well, you know, they both work for E!, right?
Right.
And Chelsea has her Chelsea Lately and plus some other show or
right.
whatever. And Joan is on various shows, but I think she has that
right.
Fashion Police.
Right.
Yep.
Fashion Police. Anyway, so, you know, because Chelsea is expanding, she's getting more popular, they gave her the new studio. They gave her Conan's old studio,
right.
which didn't last long at Universal. So they were celebrating that. And since Joan works for E!, she was over there also. She made a comment. But here's what happened prior to that. You know, they had never really seen each other, and Joan saw Chelsea, like, I guess somewhere in E!. And she says, oh, hi, Chelsea. It's so great to meet you. And, you know, and
right.
and Chelsea just walks.
Oh,
wow.
But Chelsea had done that to me, which I thought, oh, okay.
I've never met her. I don't.
Oh, yeah. So I just, but I go, whoa, she did that to Joan Rivers. Really? I can't believe. So, you know, you don't do that to Joan.
Come on. There's some respect she's entitled to.
I mean, come on.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
Joan Rivers. Melissa, what are you doing now? Please come over here on my show. But no, but, you know,
wow. Yeah, no, because she's, you know, you got to say, for all of us women in comedy,
Joan is
a trailblazer. Yeah.
Joan and Phyllis, of course.
And apparently Chelsea ripped out a wall of her studio.
Tear down that bitch of a fairy
so anyway,
wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Whatever she is, she's a drunk. I don't wish her good luck. I don't wish her bad luck. I don't think she's funny. But don't you come after me, you whore.
Oh, is that what she said?
It was really, I go, whoa, you go, Joan.
Yeah, but I've never met her. She does not seem warm, though.
Not warm. Well, so, like I said, I was at a party in Chelsea, you know, and it was for Chelsea, so I was invited. So, like, it's not
right.
like, you know, not like I would
You're not a grifter.
Her.
You're not like a hobo,
yeah,
as Mitt Romney would say.
By the way, you know, my biggest fan base is the homeless. I didn't know that until I go out and I'm in the parking lot of Ralph's. Judy, I'm like, whoa, you have a TV, really? I mean, that's great. But anyway, that's just
so
wrong to do that.
Now, wait a minute. We didn't get to all of the presidential candidates speaking about Romney. Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum, who says that, you know, it's really against God or something that for gays to have gay marriage.
Well, he compared it to man on dog sex.
Yeah,
famously.
And so
yeah.
Luckily for him, I think Iowa allows that.
Oh, really?
So he can have the man on dog, can he? I mean, I think men marry dogs.
He
in
could
Iowa.
Team teabag a teacup terrier if he wanted.
Yes,
technically.
So I mean, where is he? You know, that is just so stupid.
I don't advise
know.
It, though.
No. Have you tried that, Jim?
Jim! Jim loves his schnauzer. He loves his schnauzer. Poker! Hey, no, really, but when he, you know, he really just stuck his giant foot in his mouth when he said that.
Yeah.
Well, how can we allow gays to be married when we don't allow men to marry their dogs?
He
also thinks sick children should die if they can't afford the medication.
Yeah.
Well, he's going down.
Oh, I don't know if you should use that.
He should go down.
Now, what was the last, there was someone that asked him a question about marriage equality, and of course he said, oh, well, they said, doesn't that fall under the pursuit of happiness, you know, in America?
Yes,
and
he said,
oh, well, what if you have to marry five people to make you happy? And that is a slippery slope greased with Santorum, and that does not end well for anybody.
He really said that?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I thought that Romney was the big...
the polygamist? No, you're thinking of his relatives.
Yeah, because he is Mormon.
Yes.
But, okay, so Santorum, just so I, whoa!
You're thinking Newt Gingrich is the actual polygamist. He's the right. one that's had yeah. multiple wives.
Oh, he's had multiple wives, yes. but I thought he did that because he needed the female vote. I didn't, because what female's going to vote for that right. pig? I don't know. But yeah.
Newt Gingrich, yeah, but apparently women did not care for him in the last couple of primaries.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Something about leaving dying wives. I don't know for all
oh,
your.
Oh, nasty. And now he's got Calista Flopptart, right?
Yes. Just, yeah. She has no eyelids. Have you noticed?
She has no eyelids and her hair, and she's got the big 1960s hair.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But. You know.
Yeah.
She's a Martian.
That's where he hides
Mars
his votes.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. It's Jenny Tenuta, the goddess. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
I hear she kissed a girl.
Uh-huh.
She liked it.
She did
yeah.
kiss a girl.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that. 49 minutes after the hour. Judy Tenuta and I, California girls now, although Judy originally from Oak Park.
Oak Park, Illinois.
Oak Park,
Oak Park will beat New Trier.
our favorite caller in the world, Art, is from Chicago, and he has a jingle now.
Oh!
Who's the caller? Who's on line three? Why, in Chicago, it's Art by Track P. And with Steph, he does not agree. But we all think he is the bee's knees. Yes, we allow him to stay and hear what people say. In Chicago, it's Art by Track P.
Fantastic.
He's a thousand, and he calls him.
He's a thousand!
And we love him so much. Bike Racky.
Young lady, you know. He's yes. from Chicago.
He actually says Bike Racky.
Bike
Racky. Okay. Speaking of old folk, Carolyn in Elk Grove, California says, Steph, I was thrilled my actual CD came in yesterday's mail. Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy, Volume 1.
Woo!
I think it's the old fogey edition. not all of us are able to use those newfangled things like iPods. I've never downloaded anything in my 65-year-old life. Aw, I would like to be the official short, pudgy Jewish grandmother of the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, all right then.
Oh,
Carolyn.
That's a big fan. We love that.
I bet you can get a Judy Tenuta album or two.
I do have an album. I do get letters too, though. Here's one. Dear Goddess, I'm a 56-year-old Eagle Scout who lives in the woods with my mother.
He's like, oh, well. hey, we just played a Katy Perry song. She has a crush on Tim Tebow. Apparently.
Oh, well, yep. and who doesn't?
Girl
except,
fight.
What's that?
Oh, that's the other one.
Yeah. He's, yeah. Well, you know, that's a, I guess she wants someone who can't think too much. I'm sorry. No. Hey, by the way, no. Hey, come on. He's.
God likes Eli Manning a lot better than Tim Tebow, apparently.
Right.
What
he's going to have to talk to God about his choices.
Exactly.
Because, like, you know, Tebow was hoping to, yeah, and he didn't quite make it. It's all that kneeling down. You know, he's a very burly guy.
Yeah.
You know, most quarterbacks are tall and
right.
kind of slender.
Right.
This guy's, he's like a tank.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Katy Perry likes him?
I
say it's an improvement over
Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Russell
Brand. Hello, a walking, you know, Jack Daniels. Yeah.
Hello.
And did you hear the latest? Now he is after the Katy Perry lookalike. The girl on New Girls, what's her name? Deschanel.
Oh,
Zoe.
Deschanel.
She
oh.
looks just like
wow.
her. They had it, you know, I have to watch all the rag stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the latest.
Well, we were just talking about my embryonic girlfriend.
We love that! I wish I could get an embryo.
See, this is, the listeners like to play the games. My pal Stacy writes, Dear Mama, I saw the story and thought of you. It's a sign of the times the Girl Scouts are now accepting credit cards. In that vein, because I'm a giver, I want to help. Please let me know where Lisa's Girl Scout troop is selling their cookies so I can go.
Oh!
My little neighbor wanted to sell them to me, but I told her I had promised to buy them from Lisa's troop. That's a joke about how young my girlfriend is. The listeners
I say, lucky you.
I think you should get her too.
Lucky her too.
Thank you.
Hey,
I really wish you would get her a Girl Scout.
Can I just tell you, Jim Ward is the only man in the world that can just make a name sound dirty? Just say how you say hello to her.
He is.
Hello, Lisa.
Ooh.
No, you don't do it like that. You do
Lisa.
See, yeah. He makes it sound dirty. And by, why must you take everything beautiful in my life and make it sound dirty?
Because he's thinking that there's a chance he might.
No.
No. Never. No. You know, there's no way she's going to.
Yeah. No.
Here's the problem currently is I am actually in a biracial interspecies gay homosex thing because I have two white dogs and she has two black and white cats, and it turns out I'm highly allergic to cats.
Oh, you must really love her then, because you know, do you have to take allergy
pills? I'm committed to the Iron Lung. It is like Grey Gardens meets a TV ward.
So you're not coughing all night.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm coughing up hairballs and lungs and little, you know.
Oh, and what does Lisa say?
Like, she laughs. No.
Then she rubs your belly.
There's a series of things. We have, like, cat dander stuff that we rub on the cats, and I have a gate to keep them out of the bedroom. And then, because the one cat has a giant cartoon paw, if you close the door, he just knocks all night long with his cartoon paw.
But then you have dogs and cats, so who gets to sleep in the bed, or do you not?
The dogs, but they're, okay, it's a whole thing. Listen,
getting too personal?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Because she doesn't like dogs in the bed, and that was a thing, but now I'm you know, I've just lost.
She doesn't like
dogs.
That's
what happens with a relationship. It's just whoever loses the will to live first. Whoever just loses
it's
the will
compromise.
To fight. Oh, compromise. It's love. That's what
Why,
it is.
Why? Do you have to compromise, Chris?
Not really, no.
So anyway, here's what it's come to.
Dogs.
So here's what it's come to.
Okay.
Now I'm getting emails from Tom Hartman because someone told me that Tom Hartman, who's the smartest man in the world, said that the way to cure cat allergies is to get a hookworm, which I'm not sure.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's
no.
Love is, I mean, love is magic, but that.
No.
I need to get an intestinal parasite?
No. No, that's taking it to the extreme.
Yeah, someone sent me the thing, people with moderate hookworm infections. Oh, well, not a bad one, just a moderate.
Just a moderate one.
Yeah.
Don't want to go overboard with the hookworm thing.
No,
By the way, so I, because Tom wrote to me and said, yes, it's true. And I'm like, oh, you're pranking me, Hartman. Stop it. And then he writes, FYI, there's an entire friggin' chapter about this in my book, Threshold. Not new news, although now, past your research, they're getting nearly 100% remission. Creepy, but true. Tom. I think Hartman is with me. I really do. He's going to see if I'm going to do it. And then he's going to go, I made Stephanie Miller infect herself with a hookworm.
Oh, no, we can't allow that. No.
Won't your central vacuum system take care of the pet dander?
I don't.
So has it improved because the cat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's, you know, it's a multi, you know, part process. All right. So, by the way, so we've been talking, thank you, politics. The president yesterday talked
about. We created 3.7 million jobs over the last 23 months. We created the most jobs since 2005, the most manufacturing jobs since 1990.
You're an Obama fan, right?
Oh, big. Yes.
I think he's
done
an amazing job. I really do.
Like I say, everything's getting worse.
The president, no, one more time.
Yeah. Whoever the Republican nominee is, I fundamentally disagree with a formula that would go back to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place. We've got to return to old-fashioned American values, everybody getting a fair shot, everybody doing their fair share.
And here's the thing. I have to say to Mitt Romney, stop crooning just because you won one caucus. Because it's not over until Obama sings. Because he can really sing. And
I went from gay to questioning. I really did.
Right? And did you see the? Yeah, he is.
He's
hot.
So handsome and romantic.
He is. And the first lady was talking about how he croons to her. He sings to her.
Oh. Yeah. And meanwhile, Romney does that. That lame, like half talking, half speaking.
America.
And here's the
America.
Thing.
Beautiful.
Oh, but here's the thing. With Obama.
About the fruited plain.
With Obama, he just did one little phrase, and you wanted more.
Yeah.
But this blowfish.
Yes.
You know, Romney.
We're all old enough to know this. We were saying he sounds like it when you lost the middle, the spindle to your 45 record player. That's what it is. He's
a little pitch is a little off. Beautiful for spacious guys.
It was bad.
He's even a flip flopper on notes. I don't want to commit to one note. So
am I sharp? Am I flat? Who knows?
Yeah. It was almost as bad as last year when Christina Aguilera forgot the words. Oh, that was bad.
And
my boobs look like two heads popping out of my. What is up
you know
with
who
that?
Never forgets the words, ladies and gentlemen? Judy Tenuta, who you can see at the John Lovitz Comedy Club this Saturday at Universal City. She is hilarious. I've seen her in person many times. And
you are hilarious.
comedy heroine of mine. Love you, and come in anytime.
I will. Now that you said that, now next time I'll bring. What do you like for breakfast?
Jim would like you to bring your accordion and play his organ as well.
Jim!
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. We love you, Judy!
I love you! It can happen!
It can happen?